Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Retirement Made Simple, a podcast dedicated to helping a million people retire without worry. I was working with a group of retirees and I asked this question. I said, "Do you ever regret how you spend your money?" I wasn't expecting the flood of answers that began to pour out as people began to share the purchases that they'd made that they later regretted. And what I found out that day, and what I find over and over with clients, is that many people end up regretting their big retirement purchases. Not only because it reduces the retirement security, but most importantly, because it doesn't actually bring them happiness and bring them joy. The big purchase they expected would bring fulfillment often just provides a short period of joy, and then it's just one more thing to take care of. So today, I want to talk about the five common retirement spending traps, or the five big expenses that people later regret. And then I want to tell you about a conversation I had with a researcher from Harvard University about money and happiness that completely changed my perspective. So to start, I want to ask you a question. You can ponder this while I chat. But the question is this, and I think this is a question that I would encourage you to come back to, but it's, are you spending money on things that actually bring you joy, that actually bring you happiness? Because here's the truth. Overspending isn't the biggest concern that I see with my clients. It's spending or overspending on things that don't actually add to their long-term happiness. So let's look at a few of the items that retirees often regret purchasing. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with any of these purchases, and many people are glad they made these purchases, but for the right reasons. Okay, let's dive in. The first thing that people tell me that they regret buying is a boat. Now, this isn't the most common retirement purchase, but it's definitely up there. And the story goes something like this. You know, you finally quit working, you're free of the work week, and you've always dreamed of owning your own boat. You have these images of you sailing off into the sunset. But then you purchase your boat and you realize that a lot goes into owning a boat, and those costs can add up really quickly, and they can end up being a drain, and the care and the upkeep take away from your mental energy and your time, and then all the other costs begin to drain your retirement savings. And before you know it, what was supposed to give you joy and freedom ends up tying you down and also draining your bank account. Now, if you are really into the water where you think you might want to purchase a boat, there's nothing wrong with that, but I would dip your toe into the water. Little pun, I promise I won't be that corny through the rest of this. But I might consider dipping your toe into the water and purchasing a fractional boat, or maybe even before that, rent a boat for a weekend or for a week or a couple weeks. There's a number of services out there that will allow you to rent a boat. So you can kind of see, do I enjoy this? Am I actually a boat person? Does this bring joy? Is this what I imagined it would be like? Or is it just a big pain, and is it going to sit in the slip of most of the time? The second regret, and this is a big one, the quintessential retirement dream, the RV. You get all the comforts of home and you don't have to worry about lodging. You imagine yourself traveling across the country, visiting the national parks and all the amazing places that we have to visit in the United States. But as someone who bought an Airstream during COVID, let me tell you, it is not all roses. Now, that doesn't mean I don't enjoy having an RV, and that doesn't mean you won't enjoy having an RV. But like a boat, before you buy, try. And I think I might patent that phrase. I promise no more cheesy puns. But before you buy, you really should try it out. Find a place that rents an RV. Rent it for a month. Go on the road. See whether you enjoy it. Are you an RV person? So that's the second regret. First regret is they regret buying boats. The second thing they tell me they regret buying is RVs. The third thing people say they regret is building a dream house. Many people decide that retirement is the time to build their dream home, that house that they've always dreamed of on a piece of property. But then you end up stuck with a house that's too big for you and a giant yard to take care of. And it's not a bad idea per se. But people often regret it because they don't actually count the cost and they don't think through it. Now, this is very near and dear to my heart because my family went through this. Not too long before my dad passed, he bought a piece of property and him and my mother begin to build out their dream house, the place they thought they would retire. And then he ends up passing and my mom has a property that is simply too large for her. And she just couldn't keep it up and ended up having to sell it, which made her feel bad because it had been their dream. Same thing goes for a house that's too large for you and it's just hard to keep up. Or, you know, you build a two-story house and then as you age, you can't go upstairs and downstairs and all the bedrooms are upstairs. And so people often regret building their dream house because they don't think through the future. And it's not that you shouldn't build the home of your dreams when you have the money and the resources, but you also want to think about your future self. Is this someplace that we're going to be able to stay for a while? So the third regret is building a dream home. The fourth regret is something that actually has a lot of positives, and that's supporting family members. Investing in your family is one of the greatest things you can do. But what often happens is it can create dependency when you most need financial independence. Now, most people don't regret giving money to their family members to help them buy their first home or for a large purchase or to send the grandkids for college. But the regret is more around giving money that causes financial dependence, which has two issues. The first is it causes the kids to fail to thrive because they always think, well, mom and dad will support me. And then the second issue is it can often strain the gift giver's finances. It can strain your finances. And honestly, I see this way too often. Just in the past month, multiple clients have called me and asked me to take out large distributions from their retirement accounts to support their family. And to the extent to where they pulled out such a large amount, that I'm worried about their retirement plan. I'm worried about their retirement being okay. But as a parent, I also understand when your kid comes to you and asks you for money or asks you for help, it's really hard to say no. Now, luckily for me, my daughter's 7 and it's a Barbie doll that she's asking for. So that's not going to break my retirement plan. But if you create dependency, a financial dependency, it can end up causing problems in the long run. I am in no means telling you that people regret just giving a gift to their family to help support their family at certain times, but they do regret creating a sense of dependency in their family. Now, the fifth regret, this one is a no-brainer. Now, a few of these regrets you might be arguing with me about and say, I think you're wrong. The fifth one, I think, is almost universal. We all agree that a timeshare is often a regrettable decision. The presentation makes it seem so attractive, but talk to almost anyone who has purchased a timeshare and they will tell you they regret it. My family bought a timeshare once, and literally as we drove off the property and the glow of the beautiful grounds began to wear off, we realized, what have we just done? This was a massive mistake. Because the problem is, not only do you have an upfront cost, but you also have all these ongoing costs, annual maintenance fees and utilities and taxes and all these various expenses which can add up. And then you get tired of going to the same timeshare at the 52nd week of the year or whatever the case might be. And I know they tell you you can switch it, but most people end up regretting purchasing a timeshare. And if you do decide to purchase a timeshare, purchase it on a secondary market because people are almost giving them away. Why? Because, well, most people regret purchasing a timeshare. Now that we've covered some of the financial regrets, let's talk about what brings financial joy or financial happiness. And I plan on doing an entire video on this later. But as I mentioned in the beginning, I had the opportunity to talk with a researcher from Harvard University. And what she told me about money and happiness kind of surprised me. But before I dive into that, I want to make a quick offer. I've started free retirement assessments via video, just 5 to 10 minutes. Basically helping you know how you're doing on your path to retirement. So in the description below, you can just click on the link that says free retirement assessment, fill out some information, and then I will send back a free 5 to 10 minute video, just kind of giving you an overview of how you're doing on your path to retirement. And then if you want to set up a call after that, we can do that. But just click the link in the show notes below. Now back to the conversation that changed how I think about money. During my conversation with the Harvard researcher, I mentioned research that shows that over a certain point, money doesn't make people happier. At the time, I think the number was 75,000 or so, although I'm guessing that that number is slightly higher today because of inflation. But basically, a lot of research says that you are happier, your happiness increases up to a particular level as your income increases, and then there's a cap, and above that cap, then you're not any happier. If you go from 75,000 to 150,000, there's really not an increase in happiness. And so I was talking about this study, and the researcher said, that's partially true. She said, while having more money doesn't automatically make people happier, it can if you spend it correctly. And then she said, there are three ways that people spend money that increases their happiness. And so more money does actually make people happier. So here are the three areas that they found that spending money can increase your happiness. The first is buying time. So if you do things to buy back time, for example, if you are spending a ton of time working on your yard and you're just not an outdoor person, you don't enjoy working in your yard, then for you, it might make sense to hire a gardener to care for your yard. Now, the research is clear that buying back time and then just sitting inside scrolling on Facebook doesn't make you happier. But if you buy back time, you know, by hiring a gardener or a housekeeper or a cook or whatever the thing is that you were spending time on that isn't really bringing you joy, if you take that time and then use it to invest in something that does bring you joy, you can see an increase in happiness. So let's say you hire a gardener so you don't have to do yard work anymore, and then you use that free time now to go and play tennis or go hiking or spend time with friends, then it does increase happiness. So the first thing that increases happiness is spending money on buying back your time. The second thing they found was people who buy experiences over things. So taking a trip to Italy with some of your best friends is an incredible investment as opposed to buying a boat. Now, if you're buying the boat to take your friends out, then that might be buying an experience. And if that is your goal and you are going to consistently be able to take other people out on the boat with you, then that boat might be a great investment. But what they find over and over again, that people who invest in experiences over things have an increased amount of happiness, things that they can look back on that bring joy. I know for us, our family, we've taken a number of trips with my in-laws and then with my mom, and those are some of our best memories. We took my mother recently to New York City. We just spent a week in New York City and took her to all the things she'd always wanted to see. We took her to the Plaza Hotel for high tea and just things that brought her immense amount of joy and created memories in our own life and created memories for our daughter. The same thing we went with my in-laws to Italy a couple of years ago. And that created a lasting, joyful experience and increased all of our happiness. So experiences over things. And the final way that they found that money can bring happiness is when you invest in others and not simply in yourself. So that could be contributing to your favorite charity. Maybe it's investing in your church or your synagogue or finding another local nonprofit that you can be involved with and that you can invest in. But they find over and over again that people that invest in others and not simply themselves have an increase in happiness. Quickly to recap, when you spend money on buying back your time, you spend money on experiences and you invest in others, more money does actually increase happiness. Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, if you do me a favor and leave us a review on whatever app you listen to, whether that be Apple or Spotify, or one of the various other podcast apps out there, leave us a review and then also follow us so that you can be alerted anytime we release new content. And if you are looking for a financial advisor or need a second opinion on your investment portfolio or your retirement plan, you can always go to foundryfinancial.org/get-started.